If you would, go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. When you get there, go ahead and stand with me. We're coming out of a revival. We had a great revival last weekend. We saw some great things take place. God did a work. We saw several first-time visitors in several days. We saw some salvations. We saw some rededications. We saw one get reassurance of their salvation. And then individually, we had several folks that were beginning to grow and make different decisions in their lives to grow closer to the Lord. And I want to help you this morning. One of the things that often happens after we go through a revival and after we see God do a work in our lives is the devil tends to creep his old head in and he begins to show up in our lives. And a lot of times the devil will show up in a subtle way that we're not necessarily expecting, but sometimes it's an all-out assault that takes place in our lives. And many times, any time in your life when you decide to do anything for God, the devil is going to do everything he can to stop you. All right? He's going to use people to try to stop you. He's going to use circumstances in your life to try to stop you. And so I'm going to preach you a message this morning on how to protect ourselves from Satan today. We've come out of revival. We've seen God do some great things. We've made some great decisions. Hopefully you've been reading your Bible more this week than you did before the revival because you got revived while you were in the revival. And so we've drawn closer to the Lord. And so now we need to find out how we, as a child of God, can protect ourselves against the devil. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Very familiar passage. We're going to look at the armor of God this morning and what God tells us to do. Look at verse number 10. It says, finally, coming to the end of this letter here with the church at Ephesus, he had dealt with a lot of different things. One day we'll be going through the book of Ephesians, and we'll break that down for you. But here, he's gone through a lot of different things, and now he's getting to the point where he's talking about the armor of God. And he tells us what we need to do. He says, finally, or at the end of all of this, my brethren, my brothers and sisters in Christ, be strong in the Lord. In everything that we've gone over, in everything that's been covered up to this point, he says, finally now, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. By the way, this is a choice that we have to make individually. Put is an action verb. Okay? It's an action verb. Now, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And, having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truths of the word of God. Lord, I fear that your people, each and every one of us, have a red target on our backs, on our chests, all over, where the devil's trying to attack us. The devil's trying to sneak in, destroy our families. Sometimes he may not attack us directly, but he attacks us indirectly through our spouse, through our children, through friends and family, through those that are close to us. And I fear the devil's going to try to hinder the work that you started. In some lives, Lord, he's already done that. Lord, he started right after the revival. With some, he started right in the midst of the revival because he knew what you were going to do in their lives. Lord, the devil is real. And he's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. We're going to talk about that this morning as well. But Lord, you've given us in your word steps that we ought to take to protect ourselves. And I pray we take heed to the word of God this morning. Would apply it to our lives, we'd understand better and more fully how we can protect ourselves against the devil. Use and guide us. Teach us your word. We ask these things in your name and pray. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Here, throughout the word of God, not just in this passage, but even in the book of 1 John, even in the book of James, we find many different truths. One of the great truths we find is that we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Some of you probably seen the shirts that go around and people wear the Caruso shirts. People buy at Mardell's or other Christian bookstores. And it says N-O-T-W, not of this world. Now, we are not of this world. We are citizens of a heavenly place, the Bible says earlier in the book of Ephesians. We are in this world right now, and we live in this world, but we are not to be consumed by the things of the world. But because we are in the world, we fail to realize oftentimes that we're in enemy territory. And you are living your Christian life as an all-out assault on this world. And this world is an all-out assault on your life. We are literally behind enemy lines. If you know anything about the military, when you are behind enemy lines, there are times where your comms, you have to go dark. There is nobody that is there. There is nobody coming for your rescue. You have to find a way to survive. Now, we know that Jesus is coming back one day. And so we know that we are not alone. The Bible says that He will not leave us nor forsake us. But we know that today we are living behind enemy lines. We daily battle our flesh. We daily battle the world around us. We daily battle the devil who wants nothing more than to shipwreck and ruin our lives. You see, the devil can't have your soul. You've already given that to God. God's already clasped that inside of His hand according to John chapter 10, verse number 28. And He's already given you eternal life. He's already seated you in a heavenly place according to Ephesians chapter number 1. And so the devil can't have your soul. So the next best thing he can do is he can wreck and ruin your life while you're here on earth. And he wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to destroy your influence. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy everything in your life. Just as much as we believe that God is real, we must believe the devil's real as well. And far too often, we've got too many Christians today who are living their lives as a fairy tale. Let me tell you now, everything in the Christian life is not all rainbows and unicorns. All right? Everything's not going to be fine and dandy, hunky-dory. All right? Everything's not going to be sweet, sweet, whatever. Okay? It's not all going to be sugar-coated. This Christian life is going to be tough. If you're going to have a rose, you've got to endure the thorns. Okay? There's going to be some hard times that are faced. And the devil wants to destroy us. But the Bible also says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And God has not left us vulnerable to the tactics of the devil. He has not left us defenseless against the devil. The Bible says that the church, the gates of hell, will not prevail against it. That means gates are defensive. That means the church ought to be on the offensive. Amen. And we as children of God, we ought to be ready for the attacks. God has given us spiritual armor. We'll get to that here in just a moment here in this passage. And we are to gird ourselves with this spiritual armor. Why? So we can be prepared for the spiritual battle. We live in a world where we face daily a spiritual war. Not a war of flesh and blood. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yes, there are people that may hate the fact that you are a Christian. I'll give you an example. Muslims hate the fact that you're a Christian. All right? There are people that, yes, hate the fact that you are a child of God, a believer. But we're not battling flesh and blood today. We're not battling flesh and blood. We are battling a spiritual battle. Now, yes, just like God uses people in our lives to bless us, the devil may use people in your life to attack you. Okay? Because the devil tries to mimic everything that God does. He has counterfeits for everything. Amen. But we must be vigilant and ever ready to fight the battle that we are in and to defend ourselves against the wiles of the devil. The Bible says, look at verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How are we to be strong in this Christian life? It's not in yourself. It's in the Lord. It's in the power of His might. Where does the power come from? It comes from the Word of God. We've got to be strong and rooted and grounded in the Word of God if we're going to be ready to fight against the devil. And then the Bible says to put on the whole armor of God. By the way, we'll get to it in just a minute. All of the armor is sufficient. If you leave something out, it will be to our own detriment. It will be to our own defeat. We can't just pick and choose what we want to do in this Christian life and how we want to live it. God says to put on the whole armor of God. That means that we are completely covered and completely protected. If we choose to not put one thing on, we will leave ourselves open and vulnerable to the things of the devil. Now, to put on the whole armor of God, why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means the methods or the tactics of the devil. The reason that we're doing this and the reason that we put on the armor of God is because God wants us to take a stand. Now, our duty in this Christian life is to be strong in the Lord according to verse 10. Our duty in this Christian life is also, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12, is to fight the good fight of faith. And sometimes when you fight, there's going to be some hard choices that are made. We've got some in here that have fought in the military. And there are times where hard choices had to be made. There are times where things were inconvenient. Difficult decisions had to be made. Triggers had to be pulled. Why? Because we're in a battle. Because the fight is going to be taken and brought to us if we don't take it to them. Now, God has told us to put on some armor. So let's look at some different aspects here this morning. Number one, I want you to notice the admonition. Notice in verse number 11, the admonition. We are told to put on the armor of God. The word put is a verb. That is an action verb. If you were to study English and you were to look at this verse, you would come to the conclusion that this is an imperative statement. It is a command. An imperative statement is a command or a request. This is a command that we are told to put on the whole armor of God. The verb is the word put. But the subject of this is not there. Okay? The subject is understood to be you and me, according to English. Who is to put on the whole armor of God? That would be us. The one being talked to. The command that was given is for every one of us, because this is to be read in front of the church. We are told to put on the whole armor of God. Why? That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You see, each and every day we must make a conscious decision to put on the armor of God. If we don't, it will be to our own demise, our own detriment, our own defeat, our own demise, our own destruction. We are commanded to put it on. How? Skip down to verse number 18. Notice, it says, right after all the armor is given, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching, being vigilant, being prepared thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How are we to put on this armor? We're to put it on with prayer. We're to put it on with prayer. We heard a great message last Sunday night, if you were to be here, on how to be filled with the Spirit of God and how to give ourselves over as an offering unto the Lord. If you weren't here, go online and listen to it later. Dr. Miller showed us an illustration on how we can bow before God and we give each piece of our body over to the Lord. God, I want to give you my mind. God, I want to give you my mouth. I want to give you my eyes. Each and every aspect. And just like we would do that as we give ourselves as a reasonable sacrifice, as a living sacrifice to God, then each and everything that we put on, as far as the armor of God's concerned, we must put each piece on in prayer. We sing a song. It's in your hymn book. Stand up for Jesus. Some people have that as one of their favorite hymns. That's fine and dandy. I'll give you the verse. It says, stand up for Jesus. Stand in His strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you. Ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Don't miss the doctrine that is in your hymn book. I believe with everything inside of me, the hymns that we get to sing here in church are some of the most inspired things that we have other than the Word of God. Don't miss the doctrine that is packed and chock full in your hymn book. Each piece put on with prayer. Where do they get that? From verse 18. Praying always with all prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. The admonition for us is to put on the armor of God. It is our responsibility. By the way, I can't put your armor on for you. And you can't put my armor on for me. You have to put the armor of God on for yourself. And by the way, you can't put my armor on. You've got to put your own armor on. My armor may not fit you. Your armor may not fit me. I go back to the Old Testament. We look at the life of David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. When he went out to go fight the battle there with Goliath, Saul tried to give him his armor. And he tried to put it on and it didn't fit him. It wasn't going to work. And he made the statement. He said, I've not proven these. And he gave the armor back to Saul. And he went and he grabbed his sling. He grabbed what he knew would work. You see, your armor may not fit me. And my armor may not fit you. Your armor is customized for you and you alone, according to the Word of God. You say, but it's the same armor. Yes, it is. But yours fits you and mine fits me. Because we're at different places spiritually. Not everybody's on the same ground spiritually. Some people are a little further down the road. Some people are a little newer to it. But your armor will fit you as it needs to fit you. Amen. And there are different things. You get a chance, talk to some different guys that have been in military. And different ones have different different things that they appreciated about their weapons. And we're going to get that here in just a minute. Well, Brother Brandon, he was in the military. And there's certain attachments that he has for different weapons that he has. He knows how to use those. And they're customized and they're fit for him. He showed me a few of his guns. Phenomenal. But they're customized. The attachments that he wants, the attachments that he needs. Well, somebody else that doesn't have that experience, they can't use those attachments. They don't know how. But there's other attachments they may be able to use. The Word of God is customizable for our lives. That doesn't mean that we pick and choose what we want to believe, but God allows it to fit in your life where you're at spiritually each and every time you need it. You see how a verse will speak to me many a times. God will show me a truth. And from that same verse, God can reveal a truth that you need at that exact moment of your life. The Word of God, the armor of God's necessary in our lives. Here we see the admonition is to put on the armor of God. Secondly, I want you to notice the adversary. We see the admonition is to put on the armor of God. Then we see, secondly, the adversary. Why do we need to put on armor? Because there's an enemy. There's an enemy. There's an adversary that is out there. The reason we're to put on the armor of God, God gives us the reason right after He says to do it. I love the Word of God. Look at verse number 11. Put on the armor of the whole armor of God. And then He tells us, again, in English you'll find that this would be what's called a compound complex sentence. Okay? Because it has different dependent clauses and independent clauses. A dependent clause is something that has to be attached to something else. Alright? So let me explain that to you. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If we were to take this specific sentence and separate it in two parts, the first part can stand alone by itself. Put on the whole armor of God. Okay? That would be an independent clause. It stands alone by itself. If we were to take just the last part, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, that's called a dependent clause. It is dependent upon the first part. It cannot stand alone by itself. It is the reason why we are told to put on the armor of God. All right? God tells us to put something on, and then He gives us the reason why right afterwards. He says, put on the whole armor of God. Why? That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. If I just come at you and say, hey, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, you'd be like, what are you talking about? What does that mean? But if I read you the whole thing, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Then you have a complete thought. Then you have a full picture. In the Christian life, we can't just pick and choose certain things. We need to understand that we are to put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because there is an enemy that is out there that's trying to destroy our lives. He's trying to destroy our families. He's trying to destroy everything that God is doing in us and through us. And again, because the devil cannot get your soul, those of you that are saved and born again as a child of God, the thing he wants to do is he wants to destroy your influence. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to ruin and wreck your relationships in your life. He wants to do everything that he can to distract you and sideline you from serving God. Amen. Young people, he wants you to wreck and ruin your lives in the area of purity so you can't be a chosen vessel used by God. So you always have regrets in your lives and you'll never feel good enough to be able to serve God. He wants to ruin your life. The Bible says that we are to stand against the wiles or the methods, the tactics of the devil. The devil wants to destroy us. We need to come to that understanding this morning. There's an adversary and he wants to destroy us. The devil also wants to devour us. Hold your place here and go with me to 1 Peter. Chapter number 5. 1 Peter, chapter number 5. Let me show you some truths here in your Bible. We're going to look in the New Testament, and then we're going to go back to the Old Testament, and we're going to compare two verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. It says, be sober. That means serious. Be vigilant. That means aware, ready, alert. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil. God doesn't sugarcoat things. He tells us exactly who the enemy is. Okay? He tells us exactly who our adversary is. By the way, it's your adversary and he's my adversary. It's personal. He's personally trying to destroy your life. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Notice the word may. We often, hold your place here, and go with me to Amos. We often talk to the kids and tell them, when they ask a question, can I do this? We say, I don't know. Can you? Can means there's a capability. May asks for permission. So here the Bible says he walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That means that there's people that there's people that have given the devil full permission to attack their lives by how they live their lives. Go to Amos in your Old Testament. If you can't find it, then just look at it up on top. Amos chapter number 3. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah. Amos. It's that place in your Bible where the pages stick together. Amos, chapter 3. Look at verse number 4. We often quote Amos 3:3, can two walk together except they be agreed. But verse 4 has a great truth that can be compared to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Look at it. Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Here, Amos is talking to the people of God, and he's giving them the commands of God and the revelation of God. But here he asks the question, will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? A lion doesn't just walk around roaring out loud, scaring everything off. Right? A lion will only roar when he's taken prey. A lion will only roar as a sense of accomplishment when he has conquered the prey. Now, look again at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. That means he's got some people that he's already taken prey. That means he's already conquered some people. Will a lion roar in the forest? That's what the Bible says, when he hath no prey. A lion will not roar if he does not have prey that he has taken. He will sit there quietly, ready to encroach and to creep upon its prey. Once it pounces and it conquers, then it roars very loudly. It doesn't roar to scare off anybody other than those other predators that are trying to come and take what he has. It roars as a sense of accomplishment to show he is mighty and powerful. The Bible says the devil roars and he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. That means the devil's roaring because he's already taken people in his grasp and in his claws. He's already destroyed some lives. And by the way, the devil has a lot to roar about today. The devil has a lot to cry about today. A lot to cry out and roar because he has destroyed so many lives already. That's why the Bible says, as a roaring lion, he walketh about. What's he doing though? He's seeking next who he may devour. I fear that the church and that God's people, we've grown deaf to the cry of the world. We've grown deaf to the roaring of the lion. We've grown deaf to what the devil has done to the lives of those around us. You see, the devil wants to destroy us, but the devil wants to devour us as well. And we know that because he's already devoured so many others. And we fail to take heed of the destruction. You see, when the devil comes in and he begins to attack, he begins to devour and he begins to destroy lives, even of those in the church, we fail to look at the lives and wonder, I wonder how they got to that position. most of the time when somebody falls and when a Christian falls by the wayside, most of the time people get very critical and very judgmental. Well, I always knew he was going to do that. Well, if you knew, why didn't you say something to him? Amen. We want to get critical of the position, and we want to get critical because they fell trapped to the devil. Rather than looking at their lives and saying, my family come together, understand. We saw a man of God fall today, and this is what he did wrong. We ought to be able to look at what happened in someone's life and assess the situation and understand where the devil came in. It's a military tactic. Ask Brother Brandon, he'll tell you. It's a military tactic. When the enemy comes and they attack, you find out how they got in. You find out where the vulnerable areas are. You find out why they were able to get in. Is there a weakness? Is there a penetrable area? And what happens in our lives, we fail and we grow deaf to the roaring lion. We fail to realize the devil has gotten in and he's crept in unawares, the Bible says. In the book of 1 Timothy, there are people that's going to creep into the church unawares. We're going to think that everything's okay. We're going to think that everything's fine and hunky-dory. But the devil is going to put people in place to destroy our lives. Amen. The devil wants to destroy us. The devil wants to devour us. Don't grow deaf to the roaring. Don't grow accustomed. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Don't grow accustomed and don't grow used to people falling by the wayside. We should not get comfortable with people failing in their Christian life. We should not get used to the fact that men of God are falling by the droves and that churches are closing their doors by the thousands every year. We should not get used to that. If anything, we should get a little bit more rooted and a little bit more grounded in the Word of God, understanding that if we don't share the gospel, that nobody will, because the churches are falling by the wayside. There's been a lot of men of God that my wife and I have looked up to. A lot of friends of ours who made decisions with us at church camp or youth conference that dedicated themselves to serving the Lord with their lives. Today they're not in the ministry. Why? Because the devil crept in. Instead of us getting critical and judgmental about why or what they're doing with their life today, instead of ridiculing them for what they're doing with their lives, we ought to be able to look at the destruction and say, they got there because of this. They failed in this area. And what should that do in our lives? That should cause us to strengthen the things that remain. That's what the Bible says. To strengthen the things that remain. We've got to strengthen the walls and strengthen the standards and strengthen the convictions in our lives. Because the devil wants to destroy us. The devil wants to devour us. Look at, by the way, there are times where you're going to see different vehicles that may get into wrecks. Maybe you ever come upon a wreck or you watched a wreck or you've seen the effects of a wreck. Sometimes there are times in an investigation where they're trying to figure out what happened leading up to that wreck. You can always see by the skid marks on the road where the car began to lose control, where things began to happen and things began to go wrong. It's the same way in the Christian life. You can always begin to backtrack some areas of their life and see where they begin to lose some control, where they begin to let down some guards, where they begin to stop living for the Lord, where they begin to stop reading their Bible, they begin to stop praying, they begin to allow the devil to creep in. We can always look at the end result and work our way backwards and figure out where they went wrong. That's not being critical. That's not being judgmental. That is us understanding and not making the same mistake. Because the devil's trying to destroy us. And we need to take heed to the roaring of that lion. I'm not afraid of the lion's roar. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. But we ought to be aware of it. Because every time he roars, there's another one that's fallen. And there's another one that's fallen. And we need to take heed lest we ourselves should become a castaway. That was one of Paul's greatest fears. Hold your place in Ephesians right here. Go back. Go back. It's in my Bible, I promise. Where was it? Maybe it's in Colossians. Where did Paul say it? He said, lest I myself should be a castaway. Oh, I'll find it. Don't worry. You hold your place there. This is an intermission. It's a commercial. We're coming back. I promise. Where'd it go? First Corinthians. There you go. We hadn't made it there yet. He knows. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Thank you, Brother Nick. I appreciate that. That's why he's a better Bible scholar than I am. First Corinthians chapter 9. I didn't have it written down because the Lord didn't give it to me then. He gives me now. Notice verse number 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He says, I'm not wasting my time. I'm not shadow boxing. We're in a real fight. What does he say? Verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Don't trust your flesh. Too many people have fallen out of the ministry because they've trusted their flesh. Oh, I'll be okay. It's just so-and-so. No, you're not okay. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be accountability. More so now than ever before. Especially since technology is on the rise. I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Why? Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Again, back in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul said, I fear lest I preach to others that I myself should be a castaway. Why? Because if the man of God falls, how many other people does he take with him? How many other people? See, the devil doesn't play fair. He doesn't play nice. It's not make it, take it with the devil. All right? It's not back and forth. No. He comes for blood. And he wants to destroy. The devil wants to destroy us. He wants to devour us. Also, the devil will attack with his demons. Again, he doesn't fight fair. He brings the whole posse with him. It's not one-on-one. It's everybody versus you and the Lord. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, that's one. Against powers, that's two. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, that's three. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's four different entities. And every one of them is plural. We are attacked on every single side. There is not a time where you cannot turn something on your television and you not be attacked by the devil. Whether it be through an ad during a commercial, whether it be through the language that's being used on a television show, whether it's by the simple things that are being promoted. There are things my wife and I will talk about just on different occasions. We're watching a show or watching something and a commercial will come up. And I hate commercials. But when you're watching a streaming service, you can't always fast forward to the things. There's a commercial for some medication that was on the other day. And right in front and center, in the middle of that medication thing, was a big giant rainbow just being pushed right into the screen. And it happened really fast. I told my wife, I said, wow, they're just going to throw the rainbow right in there. What's a rainbow got to do with any of this? Absolutely nothing. But what are they doing? They're going to push their agenda every time. We all know that the rainbow is going to promote the homosexuality. And the devil's going to do everything that he can to attack you. He's going to do everything that he can to weaken you. He's going to do everything that he can to blast you with all of his efforts. He does not fight fair. He's going to use principalities. That's going to be dignitaries. Even governments. He's going to use powers. That's going to be different people in your lives. That may be a boss one day saying you have to work on Sundays. Say, no, I do not. You cannot religiously discriminate against me. I don't have to. Bless God. Add the bless God because it's fun. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. There's darkness all around us. You don't believe it? Turn on your radio. If you can understand what's being said. If not, it's the noise of war. That's what Joshua said. Exodus. Amen. The rulers of the darkness of this world. And then again, spiritual wickedness in high places everywhere. The Bible also calls Satan as the prince of the power of the air. By the way, that's not by accident that God uses those words. It's not by accident that we have the television over the air waves. It's not by accident that the Bible talks about the devil being like a spider. And there's not an accident that the internet's called the World Wide Web. It's not an accident at all. Okay? It's fulfillment of the Word of God. And the devil does not fight fair in your life. He will attack with his demons. And then the devil will attack, according to verse 16, with darts. He has a weapon that he uses. And the weapon that he uses on you may not be the same weapon that he uses on me. But he will attack with darts. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Go with me to 1 John. Oh, we'll get done in a minute, I promise. 1 John, chapter 2, verse number 15. This is what he uses. These are his darts. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Go to verse 16. For all that is in the world, every bit of it is wrapped up into three things. All, inclusive, every bit of it. Amen. All that is in the world. One, the lust of the flesh. Remember, a lust is a desire for the forbidden. A desire for the forbidden. You in the flesh wanting something that you are not allowed to have. And maybe even, as young people, not allowed to have at this time. A lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes, number two. Seeing something and desiring something because you've seen it. A desire for the forbidden because of what you've exposed yourself to. By the way, this is why you ought to be careful with how much screen time you allow your children to have. There's not anything that's good online, on the internet. Okay? And most of our young people have phones, and what they do, they spend all day long looking at YouTube shorts, watching TikTok videos, playing on their social media. And it's no wonder they're going to the world. It's the tactics of the devil. It's no wonder they have no desire for the things of God. Listen, if you would put the Bible into their minds and into their lives as much as you do the television and the internet and their cell phones, I wonder what they could do for God. I wonder what each of us could do for God if we turn the television off and just play the Bible all throughout the house. I have a missionary friend of mine. We support him right now. Brother Shelby over in Kenya. He had told a story years ago about how the witch doctors in the Kenyan area were beginning to pronounce curses on him and his family and his home and the area where he lived at and his church members. One of the things that his wife would do is she would play good godly music throughout the house. And he said it changed the complete atmosphere of their home. He said there were times where they would just play the Word of God on CD at the time. Of course, you can do it on a phone and on your app today. I've got apps on my phone. I play the Bible. You can just turn it on and play it. It is amazing. We've done this at restaurants. You can ask my wife. It is amazing how when they're playing junk over the loudspeakers at all the restaurants, you can't hear a conversation with one another because it's so loud. You can put on some godly music on your phone and just place it on your table, and the table works as an amplifier. And you could hear godly music. It'll change your atmosphere. You know what? It'll change how often that waiter or waitress comes to your table too. Amen. But I wonder if we would consume ourselves with the things of God, how that would change our homes. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and then thirdly, the pride of life. I know what's best for me in my home. Oh, do you? Does it line up with the Bible? Because if it doesn't line up with the Bible, you don't know best. Amen. Go back to Ephesians. The devil attacks with darts. He uses the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We see the admonition. We see the adversary. Now, lastly, we see the adornings. The adornings. What are we supposed to do about the fact that the devil is coming? Well, we're to put on some armor. He tells us exactly what to put on. He tells us exactly what to cover. Amen. God doesn't leave us defenseless. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. He says it again, the whole armor of God. That means we can't leave anything out. We've got to use each one of them. Why? That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. There is an evil day and we live in that evil day. But there's going to come a day where it's going to be even more evil. And there's going to come a day where the devil's going to do an all-out assault on your life. And if you are not prepared for it, you're not going to be able to stand. You're not going to be able to stand if you're not prepared for it. He says, and having done all to stand at the end of verse number 13, he starts it out and he says, stand therefore. Having done everything that you can possibly do to be able to take the stand, now stand. You've done all the preparation. You've done all the work. You know exactly how you're supposed to live the Christian life. Now you ought to do it. That's what Paul's saying. He knows. We know exactly what we're supposed to do. Just like a military officer, just like a serviceman would train and they would play the war games and they would practice the military and they would do all these different things. They would go through all the training. Why? Because there's going to come a time where they have to put that to use. It's just like a police officer. They go to the shooting range. Why? To make sure they're sharp. To make sure they're staying on task. To make sure they keep passing and they're aware of what's going on. Because they got to be ever vigilant, because there's going to come a day they've got to pull the gun. Yeah, it may not be pretty, but they're going to have to. There may come a day where they have to take the shot. And they can't be millimeters off. They've got to hit the target. It's life and death. And in our Christian life, it's the same way. We've done the practice. We've done the work. God's told us what to do. Now we've got to be ready to stand. Verse 14, what are the adornings? First, we have the protection for what we sow. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. This is our loins girt with truth. We would often refer to this as the belt of truth. Now, what does a belt do? Most guys have not figured this out today. But a belt holds your pants up. Amen. Who was it? Ethan was telling me something. He saw something somewhere about somebody pulling their pants up. He said, I learned how to do that when I was two. Pull it up. That's exactly right. Pull them suckers up. But what does a belt do? It holds things together. It holds the armor together. What does the truth of the Word of God do in your lives? When everything else is falling apart, when everything else is in shambles, when it feels like the world is raining down on you, the Word of God will hold everything together in your life. It is the belt of truth. Our loins ought to be girt about with truth. We are to sow the truths of the Word of God. The devil is the father of lies, and deception is his business. He wants to deceive. When the devil came to Eve, what did he say? He said, yea, hath God said. And then he said, ye shall not surely die. He told her a partial truth. Well, you know what? A half truth is still a whole lie. We teach our kids that. But then we try to make gray areas in the Christian life. Listen, it's either black or white. It's either right or wrong. It's one or the other. And the devil wants to try to gray things up in our lives. He wants to try to put a little haze on things. He wants to try to sugarcoat that truth. No, we must sow the truth and nothing but the truth. The devil wants us to compromise. He wants us to think, oh, it's not that bad, is it? That's what he said with Eve. Ye shall not surely die. And then he gave her an alternate reality. You're actually going to become as gods. Is that not what the devil does in our life? He gives us an alternate reality. Man, the preacher's up there. He's preaching about all these things I can't do. He just doesn't want me to have any fun. You know what the devil's done? He's presented an alternate reality to you. He's given you an alternate reality. He's trying to present something else to you to not believe the full truth. No, we're preaching the truths of the Word of God. We're preaching that we ought not do these things because we don't want your life ruined. Because we've seen the end result. Protection for what we sow. As a young person and as parents, we can also make the application for our children that our loins cover, that's where the reproductive organs are. It is also a symbolic thing for us to stay pure in the Christian life. By the way, if you stick to the Word of God, this Word is pure. The words of the Lord are pure words, what the Bible says. All right. If you stick to the truth of the Word of God, it'll purify your life. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what your Bible says. And you stay in the word of God, you won't have a problem with staying pure from the things of the world. Protection for what we sow. Secondly, we see protection for what we show. Look, loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness protects our heart. What does the breastplate cover? It covers right here, from the neck down. It covers from the neck down. It's like a Kevlar vest, for modern day terms, amen? It's a breastplate. What does it protect? It protects your heart. It protects all your vital organs. All your vital organs. Your life-sustaining organs. What does the breastplate of righteousness protect? Protects your life. The Bible says, keep thy heart, in Proverbs, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep your heart. Protect your heart. Children, understand, be careful who you allow into your heart. Be careful who you allow to speak into your lives. Parents, be careful who you allow to speak into your children's lives. Guard your heart. Protect it. We gotta protect what we show. See, this protects our passions, our hearts. And Satan, he will attack our passion. If Satan can't get to you, he'll get to the closest thing to your heart. Why do you think Satan attacked Eve? Because he couldn't get to Adam. You know why he couldn't get to Adam? Because the Bible says Adam was walking with God in the cool of the day. He couldn't get to Adam because Adam was walking with God. So what did he do? He got with the one that wasn't walking with God at the time. Because the devil's always going to attack when you're not walking with God. That was free. You can write that down. Satan will attack your heart. He'll attack your passions. Once he got to Eve, he was able to get to Adam. Why? Because Eve was the closest thing to his heart. God took a rib right by the heart. Amen? Eve was the closest thing to his heart. The devil will also not attack just your hearts and your passions. He'll attack your spirit. He'll attack your spirit. You've got to protect the spirit. Okay? Walk in the spirit. You'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You've got to protect that spirit. The devil's coming. Protect your heart. Why? So you can serve God with all that heart. So we see protection for what we sow, protection for what we show. Next, we have protection for where we go. Notice, verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. This is where we're going, our feet being shod. What do? You put on some shoes, amen? Some soul-winning shoes, some gospel shoes, some steel-toed boots, amen? You put on some shoes. Why? You got to protect your feet. You got to protect your feet. You go back and you study different wars. I love history. But you go back and you study different wars, and you'll find in World War I and World War II and in the Vietnam War, and maybe even in more recent wars, but specifically in those, we lost more soldiers because of rotted feet than anything else. Because their feet would begin to rot. They weren't caring for those things. Well, yes, I understand. They were battling. Again, talk to Brother Brandon. He'll tell you something about some of those experiences. But if you don't have your feet shod, if you don't have your feet protected, and you're not able to press on and go forward, you're a sitting duck. You're there for the taking. You're going to be left behind for destruction. We need to be mindful, though. How does this apply to us now? We need to be mindful of where we go and what we do. We need to be mindful and prepared. Notice the word preparation. Feet shall the preparation of the gospel of peace. That means we ought to be prepared to give an answer to every man that asketh of the hope that lieth in us. We ought to be prepared to take the stand that needs to be taken. But we need to be aware that God's going to go with us. We should go wherever He wants us to go. There's some places, though, we should not go because we're not prepared to go there. All right? We're not prepared. We must be prepared. We must have a readiness to act. Then we have protection for what we do. This is the shield of faith. It says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We must trust God in everything we do. The only way the shield is helpful in battle is if we use it. The only way that our faith is going to make a difference in our life is if we exercise it. We've got to exercise our faith. We've got to use our faith. Many Christians never use the faith that God's given them, so they don't grow in their faith. We have faith to trust God's word, but we need to also have faith to act. Be ye not hearers of the word only, but doers. That's what the book of James says. We covered it Wednesday night. Now, the shield of faith. Let me tell you this. When the fiery darts are coming, they're being slung at you. They're being shot at you. Darts, whether it be an arrow, whatever. When they're being shot at you, the devil's trying to get you to doubt. How did he come at Eve? Yea, hath God said. Anytime you begin to doubt things, the first thing that you ought to do when that doubt begins to creep into your mind and into your life, you go back to the Word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. You go back to the Word of God. Why? Because that's where our faith is found. The Bible says that we grow from faith to faith. The Bible says that the Word of God is given to us, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. We get our faith from the Word of God. Next, we have protection for what we know. This is the helmet of salvation, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation. Where do the attacks take place? They take place in the mind. They take place in your mind. What's the gateway to your mind? Your eyes. What are you watching? What are you looking at? What's the gateway to your mind? Your ears. What are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Out of the mouth flow the issues of the heart and the mind. But how does it get there? Through your eyes, through your ears. Protect your minds. Protect your thought life from Satan's influence. Guard your mind, because its memory bank is like a computer. And there are going to be times where you're going through this world and the devil's going to bring something to across your eye gates or your ears, and something's immediately going to come back into your mind of what you used to do. The Bible tells us not to even look upon liquor. Those of you that have drank before, you see a commercial about some liquor that you used to drink. Okay, we all have a sinful past. Some may be worse than others, that's okay, but we all have a sinful past. But that comes across your eye gates, and what happens? Immediately you remember the smell, you may remember the taste, and you may remember the last time you had it. Immediately, what's the devil doing? He's bringing to memory some things. The attack's taking place. You listen to something while you're out eating. It happens all the time. I'm with Brother Thoreau, or I'm with my wife. It doesn't matter who I'm with. I'm in Walmart or a store, and I'll hear music. Music was something I struggled with as a young person. We listened to every genre growing up. There are songs in my head that I cannot get rid of. There are times we're going throughout this life, and I'll hear a tune, and a song is stuck in my head for 3 days. It's annoying. But what is it? It's the devil trying to attack the mind. It's an all-out assault. We've got to purify ourselves. We've got to put on the helmet of salvation. By the way, it's called the helmet of salvation. We're almost done. It's called the helmet of salvation because if you can have confidence in the fact that God saved you, you can have confidence in anything else in your Christian life. Okay? We ought to know that we know that we know that we're going to heaven when we die. And when we have that confidence, we can have all the confidence in the world with anything else that God has told us. Because if He's kept His word on our salvation, He'll keep His word on everything else. But if He's lied about that, He'll lie about everything else. That's what the devil tries to do. He tries to get you to doubt. So always remember. That's why it's called the helmet of salvation. Protect the mind. And then lastly, protection as we grow. We see the sword of the Spirit. This is our weapon. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How do we grow? We grow based on the Word. A soldier is only as good as the knowledge that he has of his weapon. I shared that a minute ago. Some things are going to happen in this life. There's going to be even times in a war where a service member or even a police officer where their weapon may jam up and they've got to fix it. They're only going to be as successful as their knowledge on how to fix that thing. And in your life, there's going to be some things that happen in your life and some things are going to jam up every now and again. And you've got to be able to go back to the Word of God and figure out how to fix it based on the Bible. And our Christian life will only be as successful as our knowledge of the Word. If we don't know the Bible, we're not going to succeed in this Christian life. And the devil is banking on the fact that Christians don't know their Bible today. I'm telling you, he is going to town on the fact that Christians don't know their Bible. Because all we're doing is we're allowing everything else to come into our lives, and the Bible's taking the back burner. Listen, the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Not for a lack of technology, not for a lack of accessibility. It's a lack of knowledge. Knowledge is more accessible today than ever before. Knowledge is more prevalent than ever before. Yet we are the dumbest generation. Okay? We are the dumbest generation because we don't know how to do anything other than allowing a calculator to do it for us. Other than allowing the internet to solve it for us. Whatever happened to the original mechanical comprehension where you just look at something and you begin to take it apart and figure it out for yourself? No, we can't fix anything if we can't go to YouTube and watch a video on it. Listen, I'm all for technology, and technology is great when it works. But you're not always going to have that. And there's going to come time in your life where you're not always going to have the accessibility of certain things. You may not always have a Bible to hold in your hand, but you're going to have the Bible that you've committed to your heart. There's going to come a day where you're going to need to rely on that. We've got to get the Word of God in us. See, the devil, he can't have your soul, and he wants to ruin your life. We must protect ourselves against the devil. You see, this is an admonition that we were given by Paul. There is an adversary. He's waging an all-out assault on our lives. But there are adornings. There are things that we must put on. There are ways that we can be successful in this Christian life. But it's a choice that we make. It's a choice. You will only go as far as you want to go with God. Write that down, put it in your Bible. You will only go as far as you want to with God. If you don't want to go all the way with God, you won't. Nobody can make you. But you've got to make the decision that you're going to serve God. And if you're going to serve God, you've got to put on the armor. We've got to protect ourselves. Because the devil is not going to play fair. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. The devil will not play fair. The devil's waging an all-out assault on your life, on my life, on the lives of those that are around us, on the young people that are here. There are those that are not here today because they allowed the devil to win this morning. You didn't allow the devil to win, and I'm glad for that. But what about tomorrow? What about tonight? We have church tonight. What about later this week? Are you going to read your Bible? Or are you going to allow the devil to win? With heads bowed and eyes closed, I got one question to ask.